Well, hello everyone, bienvenidos. Okay, so I want everyone to stand up. Please, just endure. It goes along with the presentation. Okay, so we're going to do a little activity. My head, my shoulders, my knees, my toes. My head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes. My head, my shoulders, my knees, my toes. Clap your hands. Okay, I'll give y'all a break. Y'all can sit down. The rest of it, then you go, my shoulder, my knees, my toes. You get through, and then you do it backwards. And what was the point of that? Well, one of our promotoras, as we call them in Texas, actually was presenting with some promotoras and other health professionals, and she just saw that, you know what, this is not working. People are bored. They're on their phones. No one's paying attention. So she just got up in the middle, walked up, took the microphone, and did that song. And got everyone, got them engaged, got them re-involved, and that is a promotora who's a leader. That is someone who is comfortable in her skin and knows what needs to be done and isn't afraid of taking those steps. So kind of what I want to talk about today is just some of the lessons we've learned throughout projects and work we've done in South Texas in the community health worker model and the promotora model. I know a lot of you have similar experiences, and I'm hoping at the end there'll be time to facilitate some dialogue about that. But these are just some lessons learned that I'd like to share today. I have no relationships to disclose. And so again, we're going to talk about engagement at CHWs and some of the projects we've done in South Texas. What are those key findings in terms of leadership development? And then how can this be replicated to other programs? So just a little bit of background, South Texas, we're talking about border counties. Like probably many of your areas, it's one of the fastest growing areas in the United States. They experience numerous social and health disparities, and in fact inequities, as Sergio described for us. And Mexican-American families in the Valley, they have high rates of childhood obesity. It's now over 60% of adults are obese, and 1 in 2 children are obese. Not overweight, obese. And chronic disease rates are very high, high rates of poverty, and then neighborhood deprivation and locational disadvantages. So this is the area where we are, where most of these projects occurred. And this has been over the last 12 years in different projects I've been involved in. I'm just going to briefly touch on the projects to give you an idea of how we've utilized the community health worker model. Participant Observation Project was where we trained community health workers along with students in public health and different things, and they went into homes, and they did observations in the home using different techniques. The Healthy Brain Focus Groups, we're training promotoras in how to conduct focus groups, and it was an aging population. Household food inventory, it was to a study on what are some of the eating habits and things in the homes regarded to nutrition intake. Mobile food vendors, again, this is a huge source in the area where we are, where they send all the vendors out, and so we did a study with those. Participant-driven photolicitation project. Again, we trained community health workers in working with families with cameras. And I can go into more detail. I'm trying to go fast because this is not really the focus of my talk. But just to give you an idea of some of the projects, again, colonial household and community food resource assessment. These involved mother-child dyads and surveys. There's over 700 children involved in that project. The Pulga project, it was a flea markets. And the promotoras interviewed people that sold food and also people that consume food in the pulgas to try to find out what types of nutrition are available to areas, people that live in colonias. And then the Women's Health Improvement Project was a breast cancer screening project, education to promote and prevent EPICO. The last one was also an education project on breast, cervical, and colorectal cancer. So it's kind of an array. We had a lot of cancer projects and food and nutrition-related projects that we utilized promotoras in. So some of the sources of analysis, we had debriefing interviews on every project, field notes, weekly reports, and then observations by the principal investigator. So this is a kind of qualitative work that we went through and used Atlas TI as a great tool for this. So now the good part I want to talk about. So what are some of these leadership development elements that we found across these studies? One of them is to recruit community health workers indigenous to the target community who share the same language and cultural values. None of us are surprised by that. Probably all of you have done this. And we have seen even where just because someone speaks Spanish doesn't mean that it's going to work with another person that speaks Spanish. We've had that experience in the Valley where along the Mexican border, but we've had people from Honduras or other areas come, and it's just not the same connection because it's a different culture. So even, it's not just language, it's shared values and different things, not just language. That's part of it, but not the only thing. Another development or leadership element was to interweave community health workers at every element, because this is what Sergio was talking about. It's not going out and grabbing them and saying, hey, come be a community health worker, do this. It's really thinking through from the very beginning of the project, before we ever even got it on paper to apply for a grant or whatever we were doing, it was involving them at the core of that. This is what we're thinking about. Is this needed? Would it work? How would you do this? It's involving them in every part of that, from the planning to implementation to the evaluation, and then the dissemination of the results. And we did have a community health worker that was supposed to be with us here today, and unfortunately she couldn't make it. So I was actually, my co-presenter was supposed to be with me. Another element was to create an environment that continually engages the Promo Authorities in feedback, which we feel is the empowerment. And we have a further in-depth article that touches on this. But it's not just, okay, here's the project. We involved them in the planning. Okay, go do it. But it was really a continual modification. So we did a lot of beta testing before we ever went to the field with any of the projects. But then once the project started, we allowed room for modification because we sometimes things came up and it just didn't work. And so it was so important for us, for the promotores, to feel like this is what we're seeing. This isn't working. We need to do this differently. And it could be something as simple from we're in the colonias, we're interviewing them in the evenings, and they don't have electricity, so we need some flashlights, or we need something. I mean, it could be simple to more complex where it's actually a change in the study protocol. But we found that for them to really take ownership as leaders, it's engaging them in this process continually throughout the project. To allow them to identify areas of need for training and growth, this is really key when you're doing projects on nutrition. And they came back to us and they said, this is great and all, and we're looking at, the caloric intake and we're making notes of the different foods, but we don't know enough about nutrition. We don't know what we're supposed to have and how much of it and what does this mean. And so then it was providing them with nutrition classes that they asked for. So it was really allowing them to tell us what they needed and then making sure we get them what they're asking for. Generating professional development opportunities that they identify. So they would find the conferences, and they're constantly emailing me, calling me, and saying, hey, there's this community health worker conference on this. Can we go? This is actually a state conference that was done 2 years ago in Texas, and they wrote their abstracts and submitted them, and they were able to go and present, but then they also were able to obtain needed CEUs in Texas for recertification. Another one is to develop peer-to-peer mentoring programs, partnering new CHWs with veterans. I know a lot of you do this. We found that the success rates in the project and the attrition rates and the residents, but then also loss of the community health workers and turnover to other agencies decreased greatly when we did a peer-to-peer mentoring program. And number 7, involving community health workers in the training of other CHWs, so in both the training and the development and content. So we had, in the last project, for example, EPICO is in cancer education, I had community health workers developing their own manipulatives. So they bought bras and stuffed them with things, with lumps and different things, and they came up with it on their own. They developed all these really cool manipulatives that they felt worked, and they thought, well, community health workers, they'll learn better if we use this model with them. And so it was really allowing them to be involved and to come up with their own ideas. And then also to do the training, not so that the PI is standing up there doing the training, but that the community health workers themselves are doing the training after, of course, they receive adequate training. And then to include the CHWs in the creation and implementation of sustainability activities, and this has really been crucial. Once we finish a project, they are the best resource of knowing what it's going to take for this to keep going, because they know they're from that community. They understand the community. No one likes to feel like a research rat, a lab rat, right? And so they know how to continue these activities. And so in allowing them to come up with those ideas and to take the lead in that. Allowing them to get back to their communities in their own ways. So not just, hey, go do this research and work with these people and get us our data that we want, but to really make a difference in the lives. So don't just go in there and do a nutrition project, but what can we do afterwards that would really help? These are just some pictures of one we've started an annual Christmas event in the colonias. We also do book drives and shoe drives and clothes drives, and then cooking classes and things like that. But this was something from start to finish that the community health workers in the project developed, and they organized it, and then they got the buy-in from the university to support this activity. So it's allowing them to give back to their community and to do what they do best, what defines them as a community health worker. And then also seeking out local, state, and national opportunities for them to demonstrate their leadership opportunities. So as much as possible, we try to support them to go to national conferences, state conferences. This is a picture of two of ours that presented in San Diego at a conference. And so we've had some go to Michigan and Washington, D.C., kind of all over New Jersey. But really allowing them to go and to talk about what they've learned and what they're doing as CHWs, and then also to take leadership positions in national organizations and state organizations. We have one of ours that serves on the state CHW advisory board. So kind of the summary of the findings, the Promo Thora CHWs must be actively engaged throughout the life cycle and beyond. The pre-planning and training activities really have to be tailored to the personal and professional strengths and needs of the community health workers that they will identify for you. And then active engagement and contributing to this development as leaders is adjusting to make the project work and to work better for everyone, and then also promoting and encouraging this personal and professional development improvement. I know I think we're doing questions at the end, so I'll skip that. But just to acknowledge, this was funded in part by the Prevention Research Center at Texas A&M through the CDC. My contact information is there. And I look forward to, hopefully at the end, we'll have a chance for dialogue. I appreciate your time and attention. Thank you.